Well, good morning to you one and all. Now let's turn to Ruth, and it's the chapter 2. I want to read, well, quite a lengthy section from this chapter, just to bring before your mind again the wonderful story of Boaz and his connection with Ruth and Naomi and that family. So, let's read from verse 1 then, please, of chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. She didn't really have anybody in mind. She's saying, Let me go and glean corn in whoever's field I am allowed to do so. She had nobody in mind. She was just going to go out and see if anybody would allow her to glean, to pick up some of the loose and scattered stalks of corn that would be lying in the field after the reapers had gone through. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and leaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap, or I would say by the providence of God, it so happened, I suppose is how we would put it today, it so happened. Her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of the family of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. These are the first words out of his mouth that we have recorded here. These are the first words spoken by Boaz. Let me tell you, what you say tells a lot about you. Tells a lot about you. Whatever comes out of your mouth reveals what is in you. That's what the Bible says. Out of the heart the mouth speaks. So, in these first words of Boaz, we're going to learn quite a bit about Boaz. Just looking at them. He's coming to the field to see how the work's getting on, and how does he greet the man? What are you doing? Hurry up! I thought you'd have the field reaped by now. What a bunch of slow... No, that's not how he greeted his workers. Verse 4, The Lord be with you. He bestows on them a blessing. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. So that tells us something of the workers. Doesn't it? They were those who honored, revered, regarded well their boss and desired God's blessing upon him. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was over the reapers, Whose damsel is that? That's the next thing he says. And since we'll be looking at that in a few minutes, we'll make no further comment other than I want you to notice that one of the first things that Boaz observes as he comes to the field is this stranger, this young woman. He calls her a damsel, and that's a term for a young woman. That tells us that Ruth was, but still, a young woman. I would reckon she was in her early 20s, maybe her very early 20s. And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, and here's how Ruth came to the field. Didn't just assume that she could pick up the loose and scattered straws that were lying about, but notice how she approached the matter. Ruth was a lovely lassie, I have to say that. She had a lovely disposition. A lovely disposition. And this tells us a lot about her. She said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. She took a little rest, but she's been at it all morning. And remember this. The morning in Israel starts very early. That's one thing you are shocked by in Israel. because it's daylight by 4:30. And roosters are crowing all around the place, even in the city of Jerusalem. It seems everybody has a few hens in their backyard, and all these roosters are crowing at that time in the morning. So I would say she's there 5 o'clock, and she has been working from that time, with a little break. Verse 8, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. There were young women as well as men working in the fields. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, which was the customary means of showing respect and regard. I suppose here in times past she would have bowed her head in respect, but in the East they bow right down onto the ground. She fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes? You'll notice she doesn't say, it's my right. What you're giving to me is my right. I have a right to this, which is very much the attitude today. Nobody really is thankful for anything they get by way of benefits from government or anyone else. Oh, it's my right to have it. They've never contributed a penny to the economy of the country, the well-being of the country, or to their own well-being. But they have this arrogant spirit that says, oh, I have a right to it. Well, that wasn't Ruth's spirit, and let it not be our spirit, but let us copy Ruth. Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? I'm sure some of you have heard something of the crisis there is regarding refugees, etc., 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 from Syria and other places that are trying to get into the United Kingdom. There's not much of Ruth's spirit in them. Why are you so kind to me, says Ruth, seeing I am a stranger? Today it doesn't matter where you come from. You can claim a right to the British way of life, to the American way of life, to any country's way of life that's better than the country you left. You have a right to it. And you can steal, and you can rob, and you can scheme, and you can lie in order to get in. And you have a right to it. And sadly, all too many institutions of the law, courts and so forth and so on, they seem to agree with that. So that this country has within it murderers and gangsters of the worst possible sort, but because they've sought refuge here, oh, they have a right. And we can't send them back. That's what courts decide. You know, boys and girls, when you depart from God's word, madness takes over. It doesn't matter how well educated the individual is or how intellectual the individual is, when they depart from God's word, madness takes over. Madness takes over. Verse 11, Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Was Ruth saved? Yes, she was. She was a Moabitish woman by birth, but she had been born again, and she was a child of God. And here is the proof of it. This man of God, Boaz, says of her, and what a wonderful picture, boys and girls, of what it is to be saved. Under whose wings thou art come to trust. That was Ruth, like a little chick. And I'm sure you've maybe seen something of this. Snuggling in under the wings of its mother for shelter, for security, for safety. So Ruth had snuggled in under the wings of Jehovah. She had sought shelter and safety in him. That's what it is to be saved. Tell me, is that where you are today? Is that where you are today? Under the wings of the Savior, sheltering under him. Have you run to him for safety? Verse 13, then she said, "Let me find favour in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like one of thine handmaidens." And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, "Come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her." There's another phrase that perhaps we'll just explain to you. He's saying, I want you on purpose, deliberately, to drop handfuls of straw here and there for Ruth to gather up. Not just the usual scattered straw that's just overlooked, but deliberately drop handfuls here and there for Ruth. "And let fall also some of the handful of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. That's quite a bit. We'll end the reading there. May the Lord bless his word. Now, I want to concentrate a little on Boaz today, although our time is almost gone, but we'll get started on it. I want to concentrate a little on Boaz today, and we'll be back again tomorrow, and then we're off for a month, for I'm going over to Tavistock to help in that church during November. But let's see how far we get. Let me tell you this about Boaz. And it's a very important little point. Boaz was a kinsman redeemer. That is, he held a special place in the family so that if there was help needed by the family, he was the one you turned to. He was a near kinsman of Naomi's husband. And according to the law of God, those who were kinsmen redeemers, you could go to them, and they were obligated to help you, to support you in a time of need. And if it was a time of poverty, well, they would loan you money. They were a means of helping the family when it was in difficulty. And this was the position that Boaz held with regards Elimelech and Naomi and now Ruth. He was their kinsman redeemer. He was there to help. But I want you to notice that he was neglected. He had been neglected at the very beginning of the book when the famine came, and Elimelech and Naomi decided that with their two sons they would escape the famine that was in Judah, and they would go away to Moab. They didn't need to do that. They could have gone to Boaz. Do you remember what it says in the very first verse? He was a mighty man of wealth. He was an exceedingly rich man. And he had been there at the beginning of the famine. And he was a source of help to which Naomi and Elimelech, her husband, could have turned. But they didn't. Instead, they leaned on their own understanding and relied upon their own wisdom and decided the best course for us is to leave Judah and go away to a heathen country and hopefully things will be better there. And they turned their back on their tinned man Redeemer, never consulted him, never sought his help. And of course, we know the misery that overtook Elimelech and Naomi. Elimelech died, his two sons died, and Naomi was left a widow, and the wives that the sons had taken, they were left widows, including Ruth. She was a widow of one of the sons. So that, in a way, all the poverty that came on them came about as a result of them neglecting, turning their back upon the one God had appointed to be their helper. Listen, boys and girls, that's the story of this world's misery. That's the story of this world's misery. This world has turned its back on the means God has ordained whereby poor, helpless, wretched man may find assistance and help. The Lord Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But the world turns its back on the one who is the Redeemer. And thus they bring misery upon themselves. And Boaz was a neglected Redeemer. Nobody had bothered to seek his help in the family of Elimelech. It's interesting that when Naomi and Ruth come back from Moab and they come back to Bethlehem, here we find Boaz, very obviously a large farmer, and things are flourishing for him. The reapers are out in the field. He had weathered the famine. Whatever impact it had on others, it hadn't that impact on Boaz. No, his ground may have, for lack of rain, or whatever the cause of the famine was, his ground may not have brought forth with the same abundance as it had in former times, but such was the wealth of Boaz, such was the riches of Boaz, that he was able to weather that time of famine. Do you remember the story of Egypt? You remember when Joseph was asked to explain the dreams of Pharaoh? He said, oh, I'm telling you what's going to happen. You're going to have 7 terrific years of growth, and then there's going to be 7 years of famine. And they gathered in all the food, you remember, in the 7 good years, and that food saw them through the famine. And it would have been something similar to Boaz. He had accrued or gathered a great wealth. He was a wealthy man. And so when the time of want and the time of famine came, he was able to weather the storm. He didn't have to run away. He could meet the famine and survive the famine. And so here we find him flourishing. Now that the famine is past, his fields are bringing forth. Poor Ruth, she's reduced to begging, as her mother Naomi was also. They were reduced to beggary, poverty. While all the time, there was their kinsman, a mighty man of wealth, but they had neglected to seek his help. It's very likely that Naomi had forgotten that she had such a friend. She had forgotten. She didn't come back to Judah, back to Bethlehem, and say, as it were, oh, listen, we have a friend here, we have a relative here, and he'll help us. No, never thought of that. When Ruth said, I'm going to go out and glean today, but Ruth was an industrious young lassie. She wasn't going to sit at home. She was going to go out and do what she could. So she said, I'm going to go out and glean today. Naomi didn't say, oh, listen, we have a friend, Boaz, go to his feet. No, never occurred to her. How many live without ever a thought of their kinsman Redeemer, the one that God has appointed to be our help in time of trouble? Have you applied to him? Tell me, have you applied to Christ? Have you come to him and said, Lord, I know the Father has appointed you to be a helper of the helpless. Help me. Thou hast said, Lord, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I'm coming, Lord. Have you done that? Or, like Naomi, have you forgotten him, neglected him, never thought about him as the means of deliverance? May you think about him. May you apply to him for help if you're not yet saved. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank thee that thou dost stand ready to help. You're near to hand. And Lord, we pray that as we have briefly looked at Boaz this morning, we may see in him a picture of our blessed Redeemer, the kindly one who is there to help. We remember how thou did say, I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. Lord, for those who are yet lost in this little gathering, be pleased, even today, to save them. Bless the school today and undertake for us, we ask now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.